When you meet
yeah, that's very apropos. Where do the Broncos go from here?
Cleveland.
We're on to Cleveland.
We're going to Ohio, boys.
Well, it was Cincinnati. They were on to Cincinnati. That's Ohio, so we'll stay with the Ohio theme. We'll stay with Troy Rink, our Denver 7 insider, who's presented by ROX. Rocks, heating, and air. Troy, where do the Broncos go from here after that debacle?
Yeah, I mean, it was awful. It was a complete tire fire in every way. Three straight times you have a chance for legitimacy, and three straight times you get your ears boxed. And now where do they go from here? The concern is, to me, the coaching staff will lose the ear of the players, because it's hard in athletics to have confidence without results. And at some point, you tune out the message. And that's the concern for me, is we've seen these long slides over the last 5 years where once they start going down, it's a slippery slope. And by the time they pull themselves out of it, they're completely out of contention. Now, listen, they have a chance to rescue their season, go upset Cleveland, which played horribly yesterday at Arizona, but they're a huge underdog now. Maybe that's the freedom they need. They're liberated, that everyone's kind of jumped off the bandwagon. But the issue for me is twofold. One, are they going to tune out the coaches? Because the message is not resonating. And frankly, the only ones that felt like they were accountable to the loss yesterday were the players. I didn't see and hear that from Vic Fangio, at least in his presser with us. That's an issue. And secondly, we dragged the offense through the mud deservedly. The defense is a huge issue. The reason this team was going to be competitive and have a winning record was because of the defense. I mean, guys, yesterday they allowed 7 passing plays of at least 25 yards, 5 of 30. They've allowed touchdown passes on 3 of the first 6 drives of games. It's just alarming, the regression I've seen defensively and along the offensive line.
Yeah, Troy, I look at it like from an embarrassment standpoint, non-competitive. And, you know, whether it's getting whooped up front on both lines of scrimmage, whether it's giving up big plays over the top and not being tied together in your secondary, like you said, defensively. And I think there's one play that for me just basically encapsulated the whole game. It's the second interception. And Cortland Sutton's over there, and he just basically stops and watches. I can't even remember who intercepted it, but watches the return. And, like, you're either coaching it or you're allowing it to happen, and it's being allowed to happen. And I'm telling you, it's the Raiders, and it was an embarrassment for me.
Yeah, especially on the day Mike Shanahan goes into the Ring of Fame, and no one hates the Raiders, present tense, more than Mike Shanahan. You know, Mark, he was 11-1 his first 12 games against the Raiders. A lot of those games weren't close. 21-7 overall. He took it personally. The only thing I've seen Coach Fangio take personally this year is when the Ravens reached 100 yards against him. I'd like to see that anger in a regular setting when you're just getting your, you know, ears boxed. And the Cortland Sutton one, it reminded me of a preseason game where someone makes a business decision. My guess, without talking to him, is that's how he blew out his knee last year. So in the back of his mind, he's probably thinking, you know, is it worth a tackle here to blow out my knee again? He's been one of their few reliable players through, you know, week to week. I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying, thinking out loud here. The problem for me, Mark, like you said, the third quarter of each of these games, we looked up in the third quarter, they've been outscored 55-16 at that point, aggregate. It was 24-6 at Pittsburgh, and they rallied. But listen, they weren't really in that game for the better part of three quarters. Yesterday it was 31-10 when people in front of me in the press box, you know, Broncos country, they started getting up and leaving. And I don't blame them. It's one thing to be bad. It's another to be boring. If you lost yesterday 28-27, long field goal by Carlson, and you're like, God, that's a great game. Raiders are good. But that's not what it feels like. It feels like JV versus varsity every time they play a team of merit. They haven't been in the games against the Ravens, Steelers, and the Raiders outside of a few minutes in the fourth quarter of the Steelers game. If you can't beat good teams, then you're not a playoff team. It's really that simple.
All right,
I don't know how it could get that bad that quickly, but that's where they are.
Well, you get the same kind of reactions that we do. People, they want blood. They want heads to roll. What are the chances they get their wish if the Broncos lose on Thursday night.
Yeah, I mean, if they get smoked Thursday night, would it surprise me if there's some coaching staff changes? I wouldn't be shocked. I'd be a little shocked if it's the head coach.
Really?
Usually there's a coordinator that goes first. But again, that's not just the issue. If you remove Pat Shurmur, let's say they lose 31-10 at Cleveland, and you remove Shurmur, that doesn't solve the defensive issues. And the only reason Coach Fangio was hired is for defensive excellence. So if the defense is not improving, then he's the one that eventually has to wear it. But coaching changes, head coaching changes during the season are rare, more rare than people realize. So I would, but Mike, to answer your question, if they lose to Cleveland, fall to 3-4, four game losing streak, I mean, would it surprise me if there's a staff change somewhere? At that point, it would not.
I think one of the other things that is just completely evident is the Raiders have zero respect for the Broncos special teams. They kicked it off and said, you're going to return every one of these. We're not going to just drive it through the end zone in altitude because we're going to tackle you inside the 20 pretty much every time. Again, just another aspect of your football team that's not good enough. And that's embarrassing, Troy.
Yeah, I mean, they'd be better off letting them all bounce into the end zone and taking their chances, because I'm not sure they had one return that got past the 25 in hindsight. And like you said, teams see the film. They see what we see, that this team doesn't block particularly well. They don't cover particularly well on special teams. And when you're trying to get over the hump, you win in the margins. And the Broncos have been unable to do that outside of Carolina last year when Spencer had the punt return for a touchdown. They haven't been able to do it, frankly. And again, yesterday, you got outcoached by a team without a coach. Rich Bisacci hadn't been a head coach in his entire life. He's been coaching since 1983. Never once has been the guy in charge. And his team went out there inspired. Like, they wanted this guy to be the full-time guy. And the Broncos just come out, they just look flat. Outside of the first drive, it reminded me a lot of that Kansas City primetime game with Flacco when they scored on the first possession, went for two, complete desperation, and then spent the rest of that night getting drummed. And that's what this game yesterday reminded me of. Just absolutely outclassed.
All right, Troy. Thank you very much.
You got it, guys. See ya.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Insider. He's presented by ROX, Rocks, Heating, and Air.